Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me, directly across from me, is my lovely wife, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Here in the back room of our house slash our daughter's bedroom slash our recording studio. We appreciate you guys tuning in.
It is February.
Mm-hmm. As we're recording this, it is Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's a morning podcast for us. It's a miracle that Melissa got us to do a podcast while it is still an AM.
Yeah.
Because I push these off with everything that I have in me just mm-hmm. to do them a little later. But you know what? Tuesday has what is a curse word in our home, which is early dismissal. Our kids get out on early on Tuesdays.
Yes.
I don't like it. And you know what?
You know what? We didn't have this growing up.
No. We went to school 5 days a week for the full amount
Eight
of
to
time.
Three.
Early dismissal was a huge deal, though, when you got it. It was never...
We used to have maybe the day before Christmas break.
Right.
You get like a half day.
Right.
A couple of those.
Huge.
Right?
Yeah. An early dismissal, maybe the occasional late arrival.
For snow.
Yeah.
For weather?
Yeah. Late arrival for weather was always a disappointment because that meant that
you still had to go to school.
You still had to go to school and you had to wake up to find out that you weren't going to school. So you were already awake.
So you had like an hour and a half.
Yeah. Kids
extra.
These days, they don't know what would happen is for those
you
of
have
you.
To watch
you
the
would,
news.
You would have to get on and turn on King 5, Como 4. Whatever your affiliations were, us in the Seattle area.
Yeah.
We would have to... okay, see if you can remember. So, Melissa, in the Seattle area, there's a legendary meteorologist.
Yeah.
And what...
I know.
Do you know his name now? Or
I
do you
now.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve Poole.
His name was Steve Poole. I'm pretty sure Steve Poole's still alive. I don't know that for sure. We haven't lived there in a long time.
Yeah.
But you referred to him yesterday as Carl Weathers.
I know.
Which is very funny because he's also an African-American mustached man, but his last name is Weathers. And I think that's why.
Yeah. Because I was like, it's really cheesy.
You thought
like,
there was a weatherman named Carl Weathers.
This is a very deep pull.
No, it was a deep pool, a Steve pool, ladies and gentlemen.
I was wrong.
You were wrong. But you would wake up and you would tune that on and then the ticker and there would be some meteorologist standing in some snow somewhere.
Waving.
Yeah. And you would just watch that ticker at the bottom.
Every school, like Kent Ridge.
It would be their, I think it was by school district, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I would just be looking for Federal Way. Come on, Federal Way School District, FWSD. And then you would get there and they would say, no delay. And you'd be like, no. Or you would get late arrival and you'd be like, dang it. I'm already awake. So I didn't get to sleep in and I still got to go to school. So bummer.
Yep.
But snow day, you would freak out.
Oh, yeah.
Snow day, you would go find your snow clothes.
Well, this is a big thing like at lower elementary. You know, they talk about the... Groundhog's Day,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
Claire was like, oh no, we're going to get more winter. And
oh yeah, she's talking a lot about Phil today or yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something you do in the lower elementary grades, like talk about Groundhog's Day.
Yeah.
And, but living in San Diego, you're like, I mean, we're fine.
It's really funny when you think about like the responsibilities of the president. And you're like, hey, you gotta do this groundhog thing. You gotta pardon the turkey. Oh, also you might have to like do airstrikes over Iraq.
And then but what's the color scheme for the Christmas trees?
Yeah. Like, hey, you have to make this decision on immigration and all these people who are
at the border.
Who are at the border. And, you know, what's their fate?
Right.
You know, you got to figure that out. Also, hey, we got a new cat in the White House.
You need to have a photo shoot.
Could you do a little photo shoot with the cat?
Yeah.
You know, and then decide to do what you're going to do with poverty. That's what's on the agenda today. Poverty and the new cat, which we've named Posverty. It's poverty
pause
and poverty.
For poverty. It's a new campaign.
It's a ridiculous job. It's a stupid job.
Yeah.
The level of things that you're going to be dealing with on any given day. And I think you have to take them with both the same amount of seriousness. So anyways, speaking of winter and travel and those type of things, I have some upcoming headlining shows. Tomorrow, I'm going to be in Pittsburgh, PA at the Improv. That's February 3rd.
Woo.
February 4th, I'm going to be at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. February 5th, I'm going to be at the Round Barn Theater in Napanee, Indiana. And then that's it for a little bit of headlining dates. And then also on the books right now, May 4th, I'm going to be at ASW Whiskey Exchange in Atlanta, Georgia. And June 16th at the Old Church in Portland. We've got some dates that are not on sale yet, but we'll be, okay. We'll be announcing them soon in Nashville, Huntsville, and Appleton, Wisconsin, Detroit in the fall. Get some other things shaken. We'll keep you guys posted on all that. So thank you for tuning in, everybody. Also, special shout out to all of our patrons. If you guys aren't familiar with Patreon, Patreon is just a little way you can give a little more to the podcast and all things Dustin Nickerson comedy and get a little more from us as well. Here are some Patreon things that we're doing this week. We've got some people who are going to be at upcoming shows, so they get a meet and greet at those shows. Mm-hmm. We've got some posters that got to get sent out for some of our new meet and greets. I'm looking at you, Mel.
No, I think I sent it.
Okay, but we've got some...
We got pod stickers. Merch discounts.
All kinds of great stuff.
We got Zoom hangs, monthly Zoom hangs.
Yeah.
You get the YouTube videos early.
You get the YouTube videos a little early, sometimes a day or two early, sometimes 4 hours early, which is what you got
it's
them
still
yesterday.
Early.
It's still early. And the point is, you get it early. So...
Cameo.
Cameo, all kinds
of
stuff.
Oh, you could use that for Valentine's Day.
I know. Eventually, I just got to sign up for normal Cameo, too, but so much work.
Ugh.
Who wants to do a thing? There's always so many things to do. And then when you schedule a thing and you have to move a thing.
Yeah.
And then you try not to lose your mind. Looking at you, Melissa Nickerson, as familiar? I throw one of my daughter's socks at you. So what do we have on the docket today, Melissa? Melissa, I believe we have all an article day.
Yeah.
You have a pod review you wanted to read,
correct?
Yeah, I've
got a pod review, but I got to pull it up.
Okay. So I'll kill some time. We appreciate all the podcast reviews that you guys do for us. Wherever you listen to us, whether it's on Spotify, I don't think that our episodes come with any warnings about information like Joe Rogan's do now.
That's what Spotify did. They gave a warning.
That is all. Okay. Nobody asked for this. This is, I think, everybody, before we do this, wherever you listen to us, thank you. Everyone's talking about Joe Rogan right now, and I get it. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
I understand every side, every angle where people are coming from.
Well, he has a huge deal with Spotify.
Here's the thing with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan is a comedian, all right?
Ever. So Fear Factor.
Well, I mean, Joe Rogan's had one of the most interesting careers ever in entertainment, in that he's always been a comedian. He was on News Radio, a great little sitcom in the early 90s. And then he was on Fear Factor. And forever, Joe Rogan was the Fear Factor guy. But he was also a comic in L.A. And working the road. And he was doing the podcast. And the podcast has been around a long time. But it just recently blew up into the mega thing that it is. He also had a big weird fall, or like the public calling out of Carlos Mencia, which was like a viral YouTube thing.
Okay.
So he's had like a crazy, interesting career, and now he's bigger than news outlets.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he gets bigger numbers than them. It's insane, you know? And people are upset about some of the stuff on Spotify. And I get it. I get
the misinformation.
As a comedian, though, you're always going to be leaning towards like, hey, man, like you're always going to have this gut towards free speech.
Yeah.
And but it also I'm like, hey, it's their platform, their decisions.
Yeah, because they have PR.
Right. Free speech. You're welcome to go in the corner and yell anything you want. That's what free speech is. If I have if I built a platform. And I've built platforms, but if I built like a media platform, whether it's an audio thing and you're saying some stuff on there that I don't want to deal with the flack, then I will take you off of it because it's my company. It's my choice to do that. That's their discussion. But what I think is so funny about it is that anyone in this scenario thinks that Spotify is pro artist. That's the funniest thing in the world to me.
Right.
Like, there is a bunch of Rogan supporters who are like, yeah, go Spotify, keep him up, you know, free speech, pro artist. No, no one is worse to artists than Spotify. Nobody.
Even club?
Spotify. No, yeah, Spotify pays people half of pennies.
Yeah.
It's you get nothing on Spotify.
Yeah.
Spotify has built the largest audio streaming platform like in the history of the world on the back of not paying their artists
creators
what they usually get paid. That's why it's so cheap. And I get it. I'm on it. I love Spotify. I love that I can listen to all this stuff. I can listen to anything yeah, except Neil Young and Joni Mitchell and Brene Brown now, mm-hmm, or people who are pulling themselves. I get from a convenience and consumer standpoint, do not think that Spotify looks at this situation and goes, this is about free speech. No, it's not, because they put $100 million into him.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. This is
such
about
a big deal.
Joe Rogan is the only artist that Spotify has ever stood up for. And they are not standing up for an artist. They're protecting an investment. Follow the money, people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Neil Young, it's easy for Neil Young to get off Spotify. Much easier for Neil Young to get off Spotify than some artist on the come up.
Mm-hmm.
Who's still, you're Neil Young, and you've been Neil Young since the 60s. It's
yeah,
pretty good for mm-hmm you. And I don't know. It's just the follow the money thing. Everybody's full of it. And
yeah,
and I understand the misinformation stuff. Rogan is, you just have to keep it. What it is it got bigger than it was ever supposed to be, which is it just
yeah,
a comedian talking to someone and hearing their opinion on stuff. And then everything like it, so now it what starts as just a comedian's talking crap with comedians, like he used to talk about how the moon landing was fake all the time, and then he kind of came back on that as it got bigger, and now it's the COVID stuff and it's the political stuff, and everyone thinks he's this like right winger. It's like, dude, this guy had Bernie on and said that he was gonna vote for Bernie. Like, he's not one thing, but when something gets that many downloads and then you just grab these little snippets,
right?
I mean, it's pretty. He's going to go down. I told you this. Joe Rogan is going to go down as the most documented human in history. We will know
because
more
of the hours.
Yeah. The mm-hmm guy puts out like 15, 20 hours of content every week. Every week. Interviews.
It's insane.
You're going to know more thoughts about him, but you're also going to know more about a lot of people because of him, because he brings on a crazy range of guests. So I don't even really have a take on the censorship piece. I understand both parties. Like, hey, free speech, say what you want. I understand where Spotify and people are coming from. And people are saying like, hey, this is misinformation. You've got to get this taken down. This is hurting people. Totally get that. I'm just saying there's no one pious in this situation. Excuse what I'm saying. Spotify is not pious in this situation.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. They're protecting an investment.
Yeah,
that's
this
all
is like when, you know, Christians boycott Disney.
Yeah.
Or the NFL.
Right.
You know, or Netflix.
Right. Well, the Netflix one is funny too. You're like, why didn't they take down Dave Chappelle? You know how much they paid Dave Chappelle to put in there? They're getting their money back. That's why.
Yeah. And they're getting all that PR from
yeah,
all the articles
yeah,
and
yeah,
the Reddit pages mm-hmm talking about it.
This is probably only, I think somebody said, I don't know if this is true. That one episode that he did with that one doctor who, I forget his name, but he got, you know, he was kind of...
He like wasn't quite licensed
well,
anymore?
No, he kind of got alienated from some of his community.
Uh-huh.
And that's what some of the medical community was saying. It's like, this guy was like, he was kind of ostracized for a reason. And,
yeah,
you know, we're just normal people. So we're like, doctor, oh, you had these awards. Da, da, da. I don't know. I don't know what people... That's the hardest thing is like, one of the hardest things in all of COVID really is like how do you determine what truth is? I don't know. What's this guy say? What's this news source? And that was one of the things that Rogan said in his apologies. It's like, hey man, what was once like you were crazy, you would get deplatformed. Like if you said this came in a lab, now like the New York Times is reporting this. That's a
yeah,
fair point. Like who mm-hmm gets to determine truth? But you know, that one is like one of, if not the most downloaded podcast of all time. And the more controversy around it, it's just more people are going to go and listen to it. So
I guess like, though, for like public discourse and stuff, like it's probably good.
I mean, people talking is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that there's a simple good and bad. I don't think that there's a clear protagonist and antagonist here. This is me.
Like polarizing sides. That's. Yeah.
Here's a summary of who Dustin Nickerson is as a person. For the most part, I think every individual is acting in what they think is right, the right way. I think that Rogan thinks he's doing what's right. I think that the people who are upset about the misinformation are doing what's right. I think the doctor who's on the interview is doing right. I think everybody is doing what they think is right. And in their
for themselves or for their jobs.
And in their own ways, they are doing what's right. I think that that's all true. The only clear antagonist or like the only bad guy in this situation is Spotify. So that's all you need to know, Mabi. I like people. I hate corporations. It's just like anyone defending him or Spotify is laughable to me. Just because 3 weeks ago, they, in the middle of the night, took tons of comedians' albums off their platform because they did not want to pay them. Period. Mm-hmm. Big comedians.
Yeah, Mulaney.
Kevin Hart, like big comedians, in addition to smaller comedians, Sam Morrell, Kyle Kinane. Yeah. Just took them in the middle of the night because, like, we don't want to pay them as much. So, boom. Like, they're not pro artist.
No.
They have an investment to. This is a hilarious podcast about family. We are off the rails right now. Melissa said last week was too intense, and that's fair. Well, it was too intense.
What I said was I can't do that again this week.
And that's totally fair.
Yeah.
And so I just went on a 10-minute Rogan rant.
Perfect.
It's not even really about Rogan. It's about Spotify.
Are we recording?
People. The battery's dead. These aren't even real microphones. These are the microphones.
Steven.
These are the microphones like a kid's one from...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Steven, if you're listening, look at your 1099. It's February.
Yeah. Also, so if you're listening on Spotify, do leave a review though.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do the stars.
Yes.
There you go.
You can leave a review too.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, hit me with that pod review.
Oh my gosh.
That's where we were at 10 minutes ago.
Wow. Here we are. Okay.
Wow.
Elizabeth from the Forest, can we be friends? Love listening to Dustin. This one is completely based off our last episode. Love listening to Dustin and Melissa share about their functionally dysfunctional lives.
I don't know about
all that.
There's
something so great about how they neither pretend to have all those answers nor have they devolved into total chaos. Yet, this most recent episode about how Dustin gets super calm in fights had me cracking up. My husband and I are the same, except I'm the calm one. Funny, relatable, a grounding little break in the week to remind you we're all out here doing the best we can with what we have, and laughter helps us through. Mm-hmm. P.S. I haven't read the book yet, but I will preemptively give it 5 bingo dingos.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No one's read a book. What are you talking about? Book?
What is this?
There's no book.
Elizabeth.
Like, if you went into Amazon and like typed in like Dustin Nickerson book, like you wouldn't be able to like pre-order a thing, I don't think.
Ooh, you might.
I don't know what she's talking about.
I don't know. You have to go do it.
I know you haven't read it yet because I haven't read it yet. I had a ghostwriter. It was Joel. It's not a great book. It's he's really more of a math brain. That's not true. He's in honors English. What do you got?
Thanks, Elizabeth. That's nice.
Thanks, Elizabeth. I'm glad the internet and the forest is good, that you can listen to our podcast.
Exactly. We appreciate the reviews. Well, I just have to give a slight update.
On what?
The wrestling team is starting to get ringworm.
Yeah, Joel brought that up yesterday in like the most...
chill way.
And like the most like it was so funny how he did it. It was just like, yeah, like Boggs got ringworm. Like, who's Boggs?
You know, like the little nicknames. He mentioned like 5 people.
Yeah, he's like 4 or 5 people got ringworm, and they're like they just like,
he's
took
real
a shower.
Chill about
and I was
it.
Like, I feel like he's like, yeah, and he just put a Band-Aid over it. I was like, I hope this isn't real.
We did our due diligence.
Right?
Yeah, I have a story. We did our due diligence. I sent out some texts. I did some Googling.
Yeah.
We're going to watch for red, scabby grossness.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What was your, so, tell us your story
super
again.
Special. Yes. So my senior year of high school, I did develop a red scabby circular patch on my forehead. And that was when we were getting together as a couple.
The ultimate love is blind thing. I literally didn't see it.
Yeah.
Also, you have great bangs. So not in this current moment. Neither of us have showered in days. It's not even quarantine anymore. We're just
we're just pretending.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's quarantine. Yeah. So I had all these doctors have do all these different things on me, like antiviral, you know, like stuff. Cause they're like, gosh, what's going on with her? Why does she have this patch on skin on her forehead?
Yeah.
And, I used to tell my friends at lunch, I was so weird. I'd be like, hey, I get to see the dermatologist in 4 weeks. This is how I made friends. High school is so fun.
You've always been a lot.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And
you told me that you, when you moved, you would plan things.
No, I had a recent realization.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know how... Okay, so let me finish the psoriasis story.
Okay.
So the arc of this is that I was in the office because I did announcements in ASB, and the wrestling coach saw me, and he suggested that I might have ringworm, which I did not handle well.
Had you been rubbing skin with a wrestler?
I took that personally.
Had you been rolling around on the mats in your spare time, Melissa?
I had seen one wrestling match and I just couldn't believe my eyes.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
As a 17-year-old girl.
Yeah, and the outfits, the intensity, it's a lot.
Yeah. And we had a guy in ASB and he was a year or two older than me. And he was the wrestler, but he was like a heavyweight.
Right.
And he also did Chris Farley impressions.
Right.
So at the assemblies.
So he's a big hit at school.
So he was like basically Chris Farley wrestling.
Yeah.
That was his whole, and like pounding the floor and like kind of like a Hulk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that all checks out. There's
like,
always like,
it was the, you know, it was the whole wrestling
WWE. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was
WWF back then. Yeah.
That's what he was doing out there.
Yeah. Hilarious.
And I had to watch like part of one of
his, and he gave you ringworm
matches. So yeah, I was insulted. And I went through I was taking like a lot of weird stuff before they figured out. So I went to college. I had to get on a bus and
got married.
I went to college in Seattle. I had to get on a bus to go to Ballard to see a dermatologist. Mm-hmm. And on like a Friday afternoon, she was mad I was late, but I was a child.
Yeah.
And she goes like, you have psoriasis. This is not, you can't have a pill or a lotion or potion that's going to fix this.
Yeah.
And I like had just moved to college, just lost my childhood cat.
Right.
And I fought back tears in her office because like I had a diagnosis, a lifelong diagnosis that she had. It's great that she had diagnosed me, but it's kind of a lot to take in.
Or do you think maybe it was stress related?
I don't.
Melissa and I had this discussion Sunday night. I had a show.
Like,
and then afterwards, we had some dinner with some friends.
Yeah,
and
I planned a big outing.
It was a big outing. And you planned some Mom had a night.
I did.
Go get some coffee before and then do the show.
I'm doing a coffee run.
Because it was a show in town and at a church. And at a church we have a lot of connections at. And so, there was a little...
We had an opener and...
It was a whole thing.
Event planner.
It was great. It was a fun show.
Yeah.
And then... But I did bring up at the table how, because what was it? Because,
so it's
we have
about wrestling.
So a friend got a hernia of Joel's.
Yeah.
And then you said, do you think it was stress related? After they had told us and shown us the video of how it had happened. And I had a laugh and about how you will blame anything on stress.
Well,
because
the update in my phone.
As I've learned today, well, we'll get to that in a second. Enneagram fours are not in health. They are addicted to their own
suffering.
And I don't know if I could actually more perfectly summarize a part of you at times.
Yeah, it's
not always
the unhealthy part, but
you, it's bad, and you, it's like you want it to be bad, or like you,
and I want. everyone to understand how bad it is, but yeah. they never will.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're like, you're crazy.
And well, and then, and for some of the rest of us, you're like, I mean, it's bad, but it's not, like, no one said it wasn't bad. No one here would be like, do you know how bad it is? I'm like, I mean, I'm literally in the trench with you. I'm quite aware how bad it is.
I'm quite sure that my friend in my phone here has said, and the doctor also did say it was stress related.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. There is no way.
It's a joke. Okay. It's a joke.
It's like a sports injury.
My
hair
we
started
joking.
Thinning and you said stress.
We were joking about how hernias are what like middle-aged men get.
Yeah, yeah. Hernia feels like an old man. You know, you're like, hernia, and then you get his prostate taken out while you're there, and you know, all the old middle-aged man stuff.
Anyway, these are the perils of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And
If you want to know, I get a bark alert from Joel earlier. This is Bark's not paying for this. They're getting this for free.
Free, rent free.
This is, if you guys want to know what teenage boys have to say about COVID, this is it. This is Joel talking to a friend. Yo, did you get COVID? And the kid responded, yeah. Y-U-H. And I'm going to have to bleep myself out here. I'm negative now, though, T-H-O, but this blank protocol, B-A, which mass protocol, you can figure that out. I'm negative now, but this which mass protocol
you know,
can't be back till Wednesday. And then Joel responded, FR, for real, that protocol had me out wrestling for 2 weeks. Which is just very funny to watch teenagers talk about COVID because they still use their language about it. And they're like, hey, this global pandemic. They're like, yeah, but this protocol, I missed wrestling. You're like, oh, you really were set back.
When I was telling someone how we think we got COVID and it was like a wrestling match.
Uh-huh.
And then someone was like, but why are we even having those? And I just laughed.
It's so funny.
A couple of people have said that to me, like, but why is this allowed?
I mean, that's pretty sure where our family got it.
Yeah. And I laughed and I was like, it absolutely has to happen.
Oh, gosh. Like, at this point, absolutely.
These boys, like, they need it.
Everybody needs it. You got to be out doing stuff, man.
Yeah.
You got to, you know.
They got to get wins, too.
Like, yeah.
Losses and wins. They just got to work out. And you know what? That segues me to a little article I have.
Oh, my gosh. Smooth like butter.
Oh, my
butter.
Gosh. All right. So I'm just going to read the title.
Okay.
Letting It All Out. Group of exhausted Massachusetts moms gather in a field for a 20-minute screaming session in an attempt to vent their pandemic-induced stress, guilt, and anger.
Uh-huh.
So these ladies... organized by a therapist.
This is the most
mom.
Like Boston thing I've ever heard. We just went out in a field and said the F word a bunch, just yelled it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't they just do that every day?
Yeah. They just, this time it was in a field.
So they took 20 minutes in the middle of a football field.
Uh-huh.
They had four different screams.
Oh,
okay.
No. Oh, no. They went to a football field.
Yeah. She had like a unicorn wand. Need some candles.
What is this? I don't even understand.
These are just crazy moms.
How did this... what app was this organized on? Nextdoor?
Okay. So they made Good Morning America when they did this.
That's
but
crazy.
I think
that's not
this,
an easy show to get on.
Yeah. sorry. There's so many ads. It's kind of hard to see the story.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Let me keep scrolling.
Mm-hmm.
This lady must have like an online platform. Sarah Harmon. Yep. So she organized it. They even FaceTimed people in who couldn't come.
Oh, very thoughtful.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a great experience for them.
Well,
just yelling into their phones.
I know.
So they're...
Well, look at her.
Let me see this. Oh my gosh. It's so intense.
It's the middle of the night or late at bedtime.
Oh, yeah. This is for show. This isn't real.
You don't think so?
Several described the experience as cathartic, saying it was amazing, exactly what I need, and so nice to feel out of control for the first time. Well, that's the look of someone who knows there's a camera on them.
Mm, yeah, you know about performing.
All right, I'm going to read the rest of this. I'm going to punch this
up a
little.
If you go a little further down, they tell you the four different screams they did.
Okay, you can get
to that. One was like a swear. Second one, they all swore. And then the third one, it's...
You know, they put on makeup for this. Like, that's a put together outfit right there. That's,
well, you have to wear boots and a hat in Boston.
That's a professionally taken picture. Who took that picture?
I know, because it's really hard to take pictures at night.
Yeah.
They turn out terrible.
That turned out great. This was a
the
whole
school
thing.
Of mom. That's the brand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So this therapist.
This is borderline some influencers in the wild stuff.
You're right.
This is an orchestrated mom version. But you know what? That doesn't mean that it didn't help some people.
I think it did help some people, but I think it's just the solidarity.
What were the chants?
Psychologically, like, you know, like releasing stress is a good thing.
Would you enjoy that?
My jaw hurts thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's what I do. I just, you know, grind my teeth on that.
I would say during the pandemic, there has been no lack of yelling from you. I would say that you're getting that out, whether it's in a field or at a daughter or at a husband.
What? You want to hear something really funny?
Yes.
I have been doing a lot of like
kickboxing,
self-care practices.
Uh-huh.
Running.
Uh-huh.
Kickboxing with a friend.
Uh-huh.
Coffee with friends every like 3 weeks, you know.
Crying
alone.
Crying with somebody. Cry yelling
in the car.
Cry yelling at a husband.
Crying in the bathroom.
Crying in the bathroom. Crying in the bed. Crying in the living room.
In the kitchen.
Crying in a beanbag right before you start this podcast.
Crying in a carpool line.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Crying with sunglasses on.
And then going to sleep with ease.
Listening to an audiobook while doing breathing exercises. Really funny. I did all this like Sunday morning. I was outside with coffee. I was finishing a really inspirational audiobook.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I was doing breathing exercises and pulling weeds off my garden.
Mm-hmm.
The cats were out there with me. The sun was shining.
Yeah. It's quite a senior painting.
I know.
This is good.
And then I hear noise and I'm like, what's that?
And it's a walker.
And then I hear noise again. And I'm like, no one's going to come out here.
Yeah.
And then it was the first time post-surgery that your dad stepped outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because he spends a lot of time on the patio.
Yeah.
And I actually, all of that self-care helped me in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I hadn't. An unexpected visitor.
Yeah. And he dropped some stuff on you. He needed to talk about some stuff.
Yep.
And you were there and able to receive it because you were taking care of yourself and to give. And had you not been doing those things, you would have kicked his walker out from under him and said, enough.
So yell in a field or do whatever you got
to
do.
Listen to an audiobook. Yeah.
Or this podcast.
What were their chants, by the way?
The first was a normal scream. Then swearing.
Just a good old yell. Just a... Yeah.
Swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Free for all.
What's that?
I guess you just do whatever you want.
Just yell whatever you want. Yeah.
That's a freebie. Oh, and then the fourth one was a scream.
The third one's an improv class, actually. I'm pretty sure that's a thing you do in improv.
Yeah.
Just yell. Just
they
scream.
Paid.
Just emote. Just...
They paid for this class.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
And then, okay. The fourth.
The only
one,
rule is you have to yes and each other. So if they set up something,
a scream for moms who couldn't attend for reasons like quarantine or lack of childcare.
Oh, so they poured one out for those who couldn't make it.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that helped those parents that didn't make it.
So, well,
hey, I know you
an
couldn't make it. I know this was meant to be a stress reliever, but your life was so stressful you literally couldn't go to the stress reliever. But I did yell on your behalf. So I got double the care.
It's kind of like,
but one of them
thoughts
counts,
and prayers.
Yeah, one of them counts towards you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the thoughts and prayers just yells and screams.
All right. So these are five, but it kind of seemed like four.
That seemed like four. Are you sure there's not a fifth one down there?
I'm just wondering if we shouldn't do this for our next Zoom hang.
Yeah, their fifth one is just you had to yell their Instagram handle.
Nice.
Or you
tag
them. You had to thank the sponsor of the event. Hey, we just want to give a special shout out to to Binzy. Binzy's a great, I don't know, this is a fake product. I don't know. Thank you so much.
This event is brought to you
by. Thank you so much for, you know, we couldn't have made Colgate. This event in this field happen without Binzy, which provides female nicotine patches. I just want to thank you so
BetterHelp.com. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Okay, that's it. That's all I got.
Good stuff. All right, we got a couple emails.
That's right, we do.
We have emails and one bingo dingo. All right, so this three emails right here. This first one is from Belle. You know Belle.
Yeah.
Subject, OCD. Hi, Melissa and Dustin. My heart went out to you when I heard your podcast about your youngest daughter having OCD, which we have not officially diagnosed yet, but there's some stuff going on.
Mood disorder.
Our therapist has essentially said, hey, no rush to diagnosis. And I said, thank you so much. That's great. And she says, my youngest granddaughter was diagnosed with OCD when she was 4. The doctor said she could comprehend things that were too mature for her age, such as death. She became afraid of many, many things, elevators and storms being the worst. Mm-hmm. She once saw a tornado smash a house to bits on TV. From then on, wind terrified her and storms made her hysterical. She began staying up all night to look out the living room window to make sure it wasn't windy. If it was windy, she woke up her mom and they hid in the bathroom while she paced back and forth. When there was an outright storm, she screamed until her mom took her out of the car and drove around the neighborhood for sometimes hours. They tried giving her medication, but it made her violent and my daughter's face would be scratched. Oh my gosh. So the main reason I'm writing is to tell you our family had the same problem of trying to distinguish whether she was being a brat or was sick or when she would not do what she was told. This is it. This is the challenge right now. We finally realized it was just because she couldn't face doing the thing we asked her to do. My daughter had to take her out of first grade. She just couldn't do it. I tried to tutor at home and it went okay for a month. And then she would put her head down on the desk and cry. So she basically couldn't do any schoolwork, even though she was very intelligent. She became better at age 13. She never did go to school and yet could debate anyone on the important topics of the day. She always loved politics and the news. She went online to get a high school degree, but she told me this year she just copied everything from the internet. She's now 23 years old, has had 3 jobs. The first one went fine because she worked at the dollar store with her mom and a friend, and they moved to a different city for the next 2 jobs. Went horribly wrong because of some awful people she worked with. She hasn't worked for around 3 years, and the pandemic brought back the OCD very strongly. Oof. She's now always thinking she has cancer. Well, I guess this is all very depressing for you to hear. That's true, Belle. It is depressing, but I'm still glad we're hearing it, but I'm sure your daughter doesn't have OCD as bad as my granddaughter. And truly, she has had many, many joyous times in her life. She has 2 sisters she's very close to and lives with one of them. Before COVID, she went to concerts and had friends through the year. She's funny, interesting, and knows we all love her so much, just the way she is. She told me a few months ago she felt like her life had no purpose. I reminded her of how she was there for her sister and when her boyfriend broke up with her and how much she needed her. She's a wonderful cook and makes cookies and cooks for the family. That's nice. Thanks so much for your lovely podcast. I just finished listening to the one about why your teenager is tired. So funny. Dustin is like my husband. It is hard for them to wait until we are finished talking. Usually my husband gets upset about whatever it is I'm trying sharing and then says, give me the Reader's Digest version or skip to the end. LOL. Still, I think he might have been right about that article. I don't think it's the schoolwork that makes the teens tired. I've read that it's no good for teens to get up so early in the morning for school, and that is why they are tired. Their bodies need to sleep in late and have to go to school later. I'm chock full of opinions, I'm afraid. I'll try not to write you for a long time. That's okay. You're fine. Baby God, with you and your family, may you find shelter under his wings and walk beside before you love Belle. No. Opinions are welcome here, Belle. Thank you for the email. This is exactly the struggle of modern parenting. And it was, unfortunately, it was, well I gotta write that down. I was gonna do that joke of like, maybe our kids wouldn't need therapy, or my generation wouldn't need so much therapy if our parents would have gone to some therapy.
Yeah.
Just like a little.
Just a sprinkling.
Just a little sprinkling of therapy would have just been so helpful, you know?
Well, it's great, Belle, to know, you know, we aren't alone, but it can just feel like you're alone.
Absolutely.
When your kid can't function at an event that you're just watching all the kids that can function, right?
Right.
So it feels like you're the only one.
Yeah.
But it's not true.
It isn't. It isn't true. And I would say the more we've talked about this, the more we have realized so many people have kids that are having a hard time or had to, who you brought that mm-hmm. up the other day that they had the kid for someone I would have never guessed. They're like, oh yeah, we went through it for a long time. And then,
yeah.
you know, people are mm-hmm. talking about it. And I think that like, it is just, it's exhausting because you go, where is this coming from? The work to like diagnose or just find out and what they're feeling, what they're going through, what they can do, what they can't do. That's where we're at with Claire right now. You know, you just go like, oh, this is not, sometimes it, that's the hard thing is we don't know. Sometimes it is just outright defiance. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just don't want to do what you're other doing. And then you're like, other times you're like, oh, you can't handle this right now.
Yeah. What's distress.
Yeah, exactly. Distress. Yeah. Like you just and can't
fear. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's good times.
Well, and I think, I mean, obviously Belle's been very supportive and loving. And
yeah.
That's what you need.
You need to feel loved and safe. And then as the parents, you're like, but also I need to help you be successful as you can.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. but as I said to you yesterday, it's like, you know, the world is becoming a much better place for folks with different needs, because mm-hmm. Even as recent as our generation, it was like, hey, you need to be smart at every topic. Like you have to get good grades in every
good grades was like the end of it.
Yeah.
End all
you,
be all.
You have to get good grades in every subject and then go to mm-hmm. a good college and get a good degree and then get in the world. And that world is gone. Like yeah. there's no workforce mm-hmm. waiting for you. We didn't have that. At 37.
We entered the workforce in 2006.
Yeah, exactly. And everything crashed in 2007 mm-hmm. and there was just no. There was no
recession of 08.
$70,000-$80,000 job waiting for you fresh off your business degree. There's no $40,000 job waiting for you if you had a business degree or whatever. I mean,
right, you would have to go get like a master's degree,
or you have to be an engineer. Yeah. Like you have mm-hmm. You have to find your way with it. But now it is becoming much more of a specialist world. You know, like the analogy I listen to Colin Cowherd all the time. He's a sports radio guy. He talks about how there's a long snapper. There's one guy on every NFL roster that his job, he's not just the guy that snaps the ball. Like, you know, a quarterback, the mm-hmm. center, that's the center. The center gives the ball to the quarterback. There's a guy on most teams called a long snapper, and his job is to snap it further back when there's a kicker back there.
That sounds really hard.
It's very hard. And then so you have to snap it right behind you and then block the guy. That's your job, though. Your job mm-hmm. is to throw perfectly into like a little window, you know, 10, 15 feet behind you. He's a specialist. So like the world is full of specialists now, mm-hmm. which is good news for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm literally have only been good at one thing my entire life, and that's words. And even that's debatable. So. Okay, are we ready?
I'm ready.
Next email. Mm-hmm. This one right here. Two more emails and then a bingo dingo.
All right.
We have this one is from Bernie, and the subject is HHS. So we got another holiday horror story.
Lovely.
By the way, if you guys ever want to shoot us emails, we're at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com.
You could send us a Valentine's.
HHS. You absolutely. If you have a holiday horror story for Valentine's, that'd be mm-hmm. great. Hi, Justin and Mel. I've been enjoying the holiday horror stories and wanted to share one of my own. Christmas 2019, per tradition, my mother-in-law was hosting her extended family for the annual Christmas gathering. My husband, then boyfriend, and I were the first to arrive at her house with our two little dogs, a dachshund and a Boston Terrier. We were helping in the kitchen when I suddenly saw my Boston Terrier dash out of the hall to the hallway. I quickly followed, worried that my mother-in-law's cat had gotten out of the safety of the bedroom. I was instead horrified to find my Boston out on the front porch, swinging from the neck of the cousin's Labrador as it jumped and spun circles trying to detach my dog. Oh my gosh. We quickly jumped in and separated the dogs and then made a valiant attempt to reintroduce them, but no avail. The damage was done and they kept snapping at each other for the next hour. You think? Seeing the writing on the wall, my husband and I packed up our stuff, drove over 5 minutes to his dad's house, dropped off our dogs to suitcases and suitcases, and then went back to the party. Fast forward a few hours later, I just finished using the downstairs bathroom when I noticed that the water level on the toilet was continuing to rise.
Uh-oh.
This is the worst feeling, right?
Yeah.
Perplexed as the toilet water was not clogged. I swear, I watched and hoped that it would stop. It didn't. Toilet water started spilling out on the floor and I ran to get help. After we sopped up the water, the men inspected the situation and gave the all clear. But after the next toilet use, the same thing happened. We were puzzled. However, as I started doing dishes, it suddenly became clear there was a bigger issue afoot. The downstairs toilet was again flooding, and we realized that it wasn't the toilet, but rather the septic tank was backed up. Needless to say, the party quickly dispersed as no one was excited about doing their business outside in the snow. Even my mother-in-law's house was out in the middle of the woods. I felt rather grateful that we had already changed plans to stay at my father-in-law's house and thus avoided having to poop in the woods at that night. But the poor cousins weren't so lucky. They ended up taking the 45-minute drive to the closest 24/7 gas station. As they had three teenage daughters, and there were no way they were going to go in the woods. And because it was Christmas, my mother-in-law couldn't get one out to fix it for 2 weeks. My husband and I fondly referred to the incident as Poopgate 2019. This past Christmas, the cousins volunteered to host the annual Christmas gathering, and my husband and I can't help but speculate that it has something to do with the memories of Poopgate. On another note, I didn't see their Labradors at this last gathering, so I asked where they were. And I was told that they hate anybody outside the immediate family, and they have to stay locked in a bedroom when anybody comes to visit. I can't help but feel personally responsible, as they were only adolescent puppies at the Christmas, and I'm afraid after the dogfight incident permanently scarred them. Oh, well. Love the pod with you and Mel. Been listening ever since we saw you perform at the Wagon Wheel, and my husband and I laughed harder than we did for the headliner. Wish we could see you in Napanee, but unfortunately we have a five-month-old and don't do much of anything anymore. Speaking of, I'm sure someday soon we'll probably use some terrible parenting advice. Bernie. Good stuff,
what
Bernie.
What
a day. Poopgate 2019. Okay, finally, this is a quick one. Marriage fight subject. This is from Brandon. Brandon's a friend of the podcast.
All right.
He says, hey guys, this is going to be a short and sweet email because I do, in fact, relate, maybe more than I should. Why you ask? I also say easy to my wife during an argument and it does not end well. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Is that a callback? Do I say?
Yeah, I got really mad at you. I said easy.
It's easy.
It was not easy.
Well, even if it was easy, you would never let it be easy. We have one bingo dingo review, guys. This is a non-media bingo dingo review.
Yeah.
This is
another in-person attraction.
Last week, Claire went with me on her first solo trip. I had a gig for some Salvation Army officers out in Midlothian, Texas, which is outside of Dallas, like 45 minutes. And I took her with me, and we had an extra day. And we did a lot of stuff. We swam in a very cold pool. We rode some horses. We had a good time. But the thing that we did a trail ride with Hannah. Hannah was the most Texas teenage horse girl you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. Find the thought. Oh, we went to the Dallas Zoo. The Dallas Zoo. $8 was $8 to go to the Dallas Zoo. The carousel ride was $4. This gives you an idea. And it was the Dallas Zoo has, you get a little closer. Listen, we live in San Diego, so we live near the Disneyland of zoos. I am going to give it a 3 out of 5 bingo dingo, the Dallas Zoo. Mm-hmm. Someone did message me and say that the Fort Worth Zoo is actually better than the Dallas Zoo.
Okay.
Fort Worth is always further than Dallas than I remember. It's like a Seattle-Tacoma thing. You're like, this is a pain. And Seattle and Tacoma do have different zoos. Point Defiance and Woodland, right?
Yeah.
So they're far enough away. But $8, you could see some stuff.
Was it worth it, the $8?
I mean, when you go to the San Diego Zoo, you don't see everything. It's too much.
Yeah, they have too much decor.
Well, I mean, there's no way. It's so big and it's so hilly that you couldn't see mm-hmm. anything. We saw literally everything there yeah. in mm-hmm. maybe 90 minutes.
Because we've been to like the Phoenix Zoo and the Prescott Zoo.
Tucson Zoo. Yeah.
And it is like when it's smaller, you're just like, okay, so here's the like 15 animals.
Here's the cat.
Go look.
We have one of the cats. We don't have yeah. more than, we have one of the cats and then we have an actual just cat that's here.
And they just have like, the San Diego Zoo has like trail loops. And yeah. It's like.
It's a lot.
It's a maze.
It's fantastic. Yeah. It's a whole thing. It's great. There's like mm-hmm. escalators and stinking, you know, bus rides
Sky
and whole thing.
Trams.
But that being said, everything was closed. It was also like a Wednesday. They're like, why are you here? You know,
Wednesday in January.
Exactly. You're clearly skipping school right now. But I'll give it 3.5 bingo dingos because the price was right. For its value, is great. As far as zoo goes, it was fine. It was fine. You're like, all right, there's the gorilla. There's the thing. It's got some stuff. But also, I probably didn't see it in its full form because everything was closed.
Yeah.
You know, like I couldn't. Oh, the funniest part about it was, so Claire loves carousels and I can't do carousels, right? Because I get dizzy. And mm-hmm. I go over and we find, it's hard to find anyone to work in general right now. But we go over to the carousel to get, to go get a ticket. And I was like, hey, there's a carousel open. One guy just goes, I don't know. And I go, well, who would know?
I don't know.
Because I clearly don't know either.
You're like, do I just open this like gate?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Sit on it?
I go to the ticket place. But the funniest part is I get it. I go over there and I go like, all right, one for the carousel. And there's just this, like maybe like 19-year-old guy standing there. Mm-hmm. And he goes, he doesn't even respond to what I say. He goes, hey, do you know what time it is? And I go like, I think it's like, I look at my phone. It's like, it's 11:30. He goes, yeah, they won't let me have my phone over here. I go, okay. And I was like, one for the, he's like, oh yeah, she can just get on whatever one she wants. And I go, how many rides have you done today? And he said like, this is the first, or he's like, this is the first or the second. I can't remember. I was like, how do you not know if it's one or two?
Do they not give you a clock?
Well, and that's what he said. Like, he goes like, I don't know. I don't really know what time it is. Everything just blurs for me. And like, this music is driving me crazy. And then he'd been there since they opened. So he'd been staying there for like 4 or 5 hours with circus music.
Wow.
In his thoughts. That's all he had. Just him, his thoughts. He's not allowed to leave his post. He couldn't even remember if he had done a ride earlier today. And I was like, oh my God, you poor soul. You absolute poor soul. And then there were also people doing like animal presentations for nobody there. And I was like, that's what open mics feel like, baby. Except you're holding a ferret or whatever. So 3.5 bingo dingos. They don't have any dingos there.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. All right. Thanks
Sounds
for listening.
Fun. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening, folks. Want to give a special shout out to our Essential as Oils patrons. That is the $25 a month and up patrons. Those are Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Code to Grow, Dave Hoagland, Demarius Diaz Stevens, Nicole Carraz, Tiffany Payne, Farah Journey, Dave and Melissa Cox, Isaac Taran, Taryn Isaac, I always mess that up, my bad, Lori Amos, Carrie Teague, Forgotten Friend Reptile Sanctuary, Jordan Cowan, Courtney Ebling, and Juliana Smith. Thank you guys so much for what you give to the pod.